Governor Snyder says he's created 300,000 private sector jobs. His Democratic opponent, Mark Schauer, promises he will create more and better paying jobs if he's elected. But cutting through the campaign promises, what role can a governor really have in creating and keeping jobs for our state? Michigan Radio's Lester Graham asks that very question in his latest report from Michigan Watch. Lester Graham's with us now. Hey, Lester.
Hi, Cynthia.
And Don Grimes is here. He is with the University of Michigan's Institute for Research on Labor, Employment, and the Economy. Hello, Don Grimes.
Hello.
Lester, what role does a governor really have in creating jobs as you dug into this?
Well, I mean, my research was based primarily on Don Grimes' research, and he's actually looked into this stuff. But the role of the governor is not as significant as you might think. You know, the governor has always said the job of government is not to create jobs, it's to create a better environment. And I think he would still say that. But in the campaign rhetoric, it gets a little muddier, and suddenly it feels like the governor might be claiming the job growth in Michigan. And when I talked to Don Grimes, it's not the 300,000 private sector jobs that have been created, but something less than that.
And Don, what about that? As the governor, we had him tell us, you know, 300,000 private sector jobs. How much of that has to do with him, and how much of that is things happening that he had no part of?
Well, it's mostly the recovery of the national economy. That tends to account for somewhere between two-thirds and three-quarters or so of the job growth. So that's probably a couple hundred thousand of those jobs. Then you've had a rebound that's stronger in our major industry, the automobile industry, than, you know, most other industries. So we've had a stronger rebound in the auto industry. That may account for another, you know, 10% of the jobs. So sort of the maximum amount that the governor can really claim is somewhere maybe 10, 15,000 jobs a year, each year. So, you know, that adds up to a real number during the course of his term, 50, 60,000 jobs that are potentially credited to the governor, but it's not the 300,000. Now, that being said, this is a drastic improvement over sort of the same sort of calculation that would have been done during the 2000s when Michigan was losing, you know, the 750,000 jobs almost. I mean, the rest of the country was growing. So if you'd have done the same sort of factor analysis, you'd be coming up with the fact that Michigan was losing 50,000 jobs a year, even controlling for what was happening to the nation and what was happening to the auto industry overall. So it is a drastic turnaround for the governor in sort of a maximum sort of way. I mean, there are other factors that come into play, but there has been a turnaround in Michigan. It's probably just not as great as the governor would like to claim.
Yeah, I mean, it's really clear that Michigan is leading the Midwest in the recovery. And keep in mind, we had a deeper hole to begin with, and we've seen job growth. We have seen some median household income growth, although we're still falling far short of where we were. We were something around the $54,000 per year area back before the recession hit. I mean, Michigan's recession,
yes.
We'll put it that way. Now it's something about $48,000, which is an increase from the bottom, but we are not where we were before this lost decade.
That's actually the thing that frightens me the most about this recovery, not just in Michigan, but all around the country, is there's been no income growth, no wage growth in particular, and there doesn't appear to be any boost in wages for a long time to come. So essentially, it looks like, you know, the typical person, the median person, is not getting ahead. And it looks like they may not get ahead for years to come. They've lost ground. I think that's why there's so much dissatisfaction in the general public with all of the political leaders, the governor, the president, the Congress, is that even though there's been some job growth, those job gains go to the people who've been unemployed. For the median person who doesn't have a lot of invested in the stock market, they are not doing any better than they were in 2009 during the worst of the recession.
Yeah, I've done some other research that wasn't part of this story that indicates that while the poorest working class have done a little better than, say, the middle has, and while the rich have done much better than, it's that solid middle, the big part of the middle class, they've done the worst. Now, it could be that, you know, because some of these blue-collar workers, these working poor, don't have high school educations, and they were so far down below that any improvement for them is a big improvement. But as I read your research, Don, it seemed like the folks in the middle really are doing the least well in improvement.
That's absolutely true. I mean, somebody who's got some college education, they've gone to college, but they don't have a bachelor's degree. They may have an associate's degree. Is the class of people that's in the middle. That's a typical person, and they have just not had any recovery since 2009. And it's all over the country. It's not just Michigan. It's a great tragedy, and it's something that we're going to have to fix if we don't want to worry about social instability at some point. And if that doesn't turn around, you know, in the next 5 years so that they begin to feel that the economy is working for them, I really sort of fear for the stability of the country.
Really? In what way? What type of fears do you have, and what kind of social instability do you fear, Don?
Well, I mean, if you have increasing returns to the wealthy with the stock market recovery, which is real, there has been enormous gains for the top 1% since the recession. They suffered a lot during the recession. There was actually a big drop in the stock market, but they've recovered since 2009. And as Lester said, there's been a recovery at the bottom end, mm-hmm. mostly because people at the bottom end were actually not working very much, and now some of them have some jobs, and there's been some increase in the income support payments, everything from food stamps to an expansion of disability payments and Social Security. So they're doing a little bit better. They're still not doing well, but they're still doing a little bit better. But the middle class has not recovered. I mean, if you were unemployed and then you were part of the middle class, now you're employed and you're doing a little better. So that individual has seen a recovery since 2009. But the typical person who had a job during the worst of the recession, they're no better off than they were then.
And we hear Lester is on the campaign trail, Mark Schauer, promising that he will create more jobs and better paying jobs. Is there anything coming out of what he's saying? It's been a little bit in details.
Yeah, most of what Mark Schauer is saying is if he returns the exemptions for pension tax and things like that, that'll help stimulate the economy. And he hopes to find some more waste and fraud in government, show me a politician who hasn't said, I'll find more waste and fraud in government. Governor Snyder's message is a little clearer. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Now, I haven't heard anybody come up with something that really says, this is how we're going to bring people in. We're talking a lot about Snyder's economic gardening, which is encouraging the businesses within Michigan to grow instead of spending so much time trying to attract businesses in.
Yeah.
Mark Schauer has talked about making sure that education is key so that the next generation isn't lost and has more hope than the current generation does in Michigan. But I'm wondering how, if we don't have substantial change in this state, and if we don't, as many economists say, and I think that Dr. Grimes might agree, if we don't diversify our economy and not be so reliant on the auto industry, we're going to have these radical up and down waves from now on.
We will have the up and downs, and you know, I wouldn't say that we should turn away from the auto industry. Actually, one of the really bright spots in this economic recovery has been the white-collar part of the auto industry. There's been a very nice expansion of jobs in the white-collar part of the auto industry as the motor vehicle becomes much more technologically sophisticated. I mean, you start talking about things like driverless cars and all sorts of stuff that are now technological innovation in the car industry, fuel economy changes. There's a lot of really exciting stuff in the white-collar stuff. So I certainly wouldn't want to move away from that. As I thought about this conversation, two major things that Michigan needs to make as their first priority. One is to fix the roads. I'm disappointed in Congressman and his comments with regard to how they're going to be able to get the money to fix those roads. You need much more money than you're going to be able to find with waste and fraud. Michigan's going to have to endure some sort of a tax increase to fix its roads, and that has got to be a high priority. Secondly, they may need to do something in the state in terms of sort of helping people at the very bottom, people who are living in poverty, people who are suffering mental illness and the community funding for mental health. And that should be a high priority in the next administration. And third, we have to continue to revitalize our cities, particularly the city of Detroit. I've actually got some data that I've just been looking at that is actually much more positive for the city of Detroit. We've actually seen a growth, small numbers, but actual gains in the population with young people with a bachelor's degree in the city of Detroit. That's actually, you know, very remarkable and is actually critical for the turnaround for the city of Detroit. So there actually is some very positive news that it's small, it could fade away in the future, but there's some bright lights for the city of Detroit, which is really important for the outlook for the state overall.
Well, as voters are making up their minds between now and Election Day, and I'll ask for both of your thoughts on this, if it's not job creation, what else can we look to as we try to figure out whether or not a governor or, you know, a governor wannabe, whether those policies will help or hurt our economy.
Well, I think Don Grimes nailed it. I mean, you've got to have the infrastructure. And right now, with our roads deteriorating the way they are, it's going to be a problem for Michigan to see a continued economic recovery or even increased economic recovery. So we got to get those roads fixed, and somebody's got to come up with a plan that makes sense and the legislature will support.
No, that's absolutely true. And, you know, you are talking about a tax increase, which is, especially at a time when people in the middle class have seen their incomes fall, that's not going to be something that most political leaders are going to want to support, at least not publicly. And so you sort of get this non-action by the legislature in the last few months and this talk about somehow finding the money and through waste and fraud, which I never trust when a politician tells me they're going to solve all our problems through waste and fraud reduction. But, you know, that's critical. And I do think we have to, you know, begin to think in terms of helping the very poor in our state. The poverty is a real problem.
Don, one of the things the governor did was lower that earned income tax credit. And a lot of the advocates for the poor say that was one of his biggest mistakes. What do you make of that?
You know, I actually want to reach lower because the people who are actually collecting the earned income tax credit are actually working. So they have some income. And I'm actually more concerned with people who have no income. I mean, we may need to go back and sort of increase real welfare, what used to be called AFDC, Aid for Families with Dependent Children. We may have to reinstitute sort of a general assistance program. And again, dealing with people who have mental health problems or maybe wandering the streets in a lot of cities. So in some ways, I actually think that we need to reach a little lower in the income scale than people who are getting the earned income tax credit. That's fine. I mean, I wouldn't mind increasing that, too.
Well, with the limits on welfare now in place that we've seen implemented during these last 4 years, that's going to be a little tougher.
It's definitely a problem, although you could increase the amount. I mean, you could increase the amount of the benefit. But mostly that was putting a cap on the longevity of the assistance. But
right.
We need to provide them with more money while they're collecting, as well as looking into increasing the length of time that they can collect. Because the economy is just not going to be doing well for people who've been out of the workforce for a long time without much education.
Don, what do you wish that we were hearing clearly and succinctly from candidates on the trail right now?
Well, I think they should both be talking about the funding for the roads, how they're going to fix it, not waste and fraud, but getting the voters prepared for what's going to happen next, because there's going to be a compromise where the party, the legislatures, both the Democrats and Republicans, figure out a way to fund the roads. That's going to be real. I would like to see a conversation about how we're going to deal with the people who are living in poverty. And I think that's, you know, really would be a great benefit to the state. And again, focusing attention on those people. And I think that, you know, we have to have people who are realistic. We are not going to get back to being a wealthy state anytime soon. The income decline is real and is pretty permanent in one sense, or at least it's going to be long lasting. But if we keep our eyes on the long term, I think the residents of Michigan and around the country will eventually do okay, so you got to give people hope, but it's not going to be a quick fix.
Don Grimes is an economist with the University of Michigan's Institute for Research on Labor, Employment, and the Economy, and Michigan Radio's Lester Graham is, of course, with Michigan Watch. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.